Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, ESPN 97.5's morning co-host John Marks talks Eagles, Redskins, and previews Sunday's big matchup. Local athletic directors sound off on high school sports issues and the latest on six classifications for Scholastic sports. Plus, just how despised has Jonathan Papelbon become? You may not believe how far Washington fans will go to unload him. These issues and more coming up on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Brought to you by the Vinart Dealership, your Lehigh Valley Acura, Honda, Hyundai dealers.
Good evening and welcome to RCN Sports Talk, everyone. I'm Chris Michael. We're glad you could be with us this evening. We'll introduce our in-studio guests in just a few minutes, but first, a co-host of the program and the man who was last seen giving game day advice to the Villanova Wildcats football team hours before their game against the Penn Quakers last week, Mr. Joseph Linwood Craig. Joe, how did that work out there last week?
You really have an imagination, I'll tell you what.
You were bragging about you were going to go down there and give some plays before that game last week.
Why would I go to Villanova?
Because you like to brag. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. First time in 104 years.
Actually,
Quakers beat them.
I have no idea about what you're talking.
All right. You were at the Phillies game last night.
We'll talk about the Phillies. I really was.
And some interesting stories a little later on. Yeah. But first, on the phone lines, a very special guest joining us, co-host of the new 97.5 morning show on the Fanatic, the Delaware Valley's ESPN radio. Mr. John Marks is with us. John, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hey, guys. My pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Great job with that new morning show. And we want to talk a little Eagles and Redskins with you. And, you know, as you know, Chip Kelly, through his own devices, has drawn a lot of the attention to him. And when things go wrong, he's going to be getting a lot of the blame. So with the start, where do you think is his biggest mistake so far? Is it the personnel issues, how he deals with the players, the offensive play calling, the game day decisions, and most of all, can these things be reversed in time for the Eagles to still have a good season this year?
Wow, you just it really right there in a nutshell, a couple of different things that are going wrong with Chip. And I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. I know in the NFL and in Philadelphia, we really want things to just work like that, snap our fingers, and this team be good. Mm-hmm. A lot like we saw the first 2 years. He had success immediately jumping out of the gate, coming with a bad team, a bad Andy Reid 4-12 team. He won 10 games that first season. Unfortunately, because he did change the personnel so much, I think it's impossible just to, again, come right out with no chemistry, having not played together, mm-hmm. and be good, especially when your quarterback's not good. And what would Nick Foles be doing right now if he was in Philadelphia? I think he might be doing a little bit better than Sam Bradford. I don't know how much better, but I like Nick Foles a little bit better than Sam Bradford, but I'm trying to remember that it's early and that there's only three games so far and there's still a long way to play. And it's not about who the best team right now in the NFL is, who might be the Arizona Cardinals. It's about who's playing great in December. And Chip Kelly has not shown that he's a particularly good coach in December, so maybe that changes this year. But you're right. He's put a bullseye on the front and the back of himself. He's the franchise player in Philadelphia, not a player. He's brought in a quarterback that I haven't seen do anything in the NFL. The litany of excuses for this guy in St. Louis, now in Philadelphia, from some of the media and the fans is ridiculous to me. So Chip's really put himself out there, and if he doesn't get better quarterback play, he still may win 9 or 10 games just because of the nature of this offense, but I wouldn't expect him to win much more than that.
One of the main contributors to your station, Sal Palantonio, I believe, asked this question of Ryan Matthews after the game against the Jets. And he said, were you more comfortable out there with more snaps under center, seeing the field and so forth? And his initial answer seemed to be, well, yes. And then he quickly stepped back and said, well, I'll do whatever Chip Kelly wants to do. And, you know, I can run the ball and have success no matter where we line up. But do you think they took more snaps under center last week against the Jets? Do you think eventually we're going to have to see that for DeMarco Murray and Matthews and then Sproles to have success running this offense?
Yeah, I really do. And you saw a little bit of that last year. If you remember, LeSean McCoy had the early season struggles with Chip Kelly running a lot of the same thing out of that shotgun. And he complained, and he said, I'd like to run downhill. I like to run where I can survey what the defense is doing, where I can make a a cut and make a guy miss and then take off from there. Mm-hmm. So I think Chip adjusted last year a little bit, and I think he's going to have to adjust this year. Here's the bottom line, guys. Plain and simple, the offense, the running game did not work in the first two games.
Sure.
Chip adjusted in the third game, and I don't think there's any surprise that it worked. So whether it's DeMarco Murray, whether it's Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles is a little bit different because he's so shifty and he can make guys miss, and he's more of a third right. down receiving running back that can do it all. But mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt that you're going to have to see him adjust, not only with that, but also to some of what he's trying to do in the passing game. Let's face it, for all the Chip Kelly offense that we've heard about, and he's this offensive guru, he hasn't been really creative this year. And you saw him do that in his first 2 years where he went through periods where he was very predictable. So I think really it starts with Chip. It starts with Chip getting creative. It starts with Chip getting his guys in space, the Darren Sproles, Nelson Aguilar, if he's ever able to kind of get out of this rookie funk that he's in. And it's going to be all about Chip and what he can do. I would expect to see Sam Bradford lining up under center a little bit more than even last week going forward, especially if it continues to work.
Yeah, John, you know what? You look at the expectations and what happened in that respect. That preseason game against the Packers was really – that fooled a lot of people. I mean, Bradford looked like Bart Starr. I mean, he was putting the ball on the money. Every throw was right where it was supposed to be. And, you know, we all saw the results of that. And I think everybody's expectations were this is the way it's going to be all year. And, of course, we found out now people start to prepare for those offensive sets when the regular season happens. And it's all a matter of it's a chess game. You got to adjust. The other team adjusts. You have to adjust. And we've lacked being able to do that so far. But, you know, as I look at that offense, as a defensive coach, which I did for a lot of years, I always loved it when people lined a quarterback up deep for a shotgun situation, because as a defensive coach, I knew the running game was going to be really limited because there's just so much you can do with one back in the backfield. I don't care how you cut it. And I think when he gets up over the center, there are other options with the running game that you don't get from that spread formation. And I think that helps the Eagles in their situation. So I think I agree with you. I hope he gets up under the center a little bit more, and I think that should help the running game. The other thing I think that happened was that this past game, the Eagles did a lot of man-on-man, one-on-one blocking. There wasn't a lot of the kind of blocking that you saw in the first two games where linemen were pulling and they were going right and left and trying to cut people off at angles. It was all one-on-one blocking, and they had more success with it. Did you see the same kind of thing I saw?
Yeah, I did, and it's a really good point as far as lining up under center. And I personally, like, he lines up in that shotgun like he's going to run the read option, the zone read.
Yep.
But he doesn't have a quarterback that has any chance of doing that.
Exactly.
So why would you line up in a shotgun and do that same stupid fake? Nick Foles, Nick Foles did really well was he would throw. It's like instead of having a run option, he would make that quick throw. He would yank that ball back from his running back and then make the quick throw at the line of scrimmage. And that's not something Sam Bradford looks comfortable doing so far. So I agree with you. I saw a lot of things last week, more of a pro style from the blocking, from lining up under center. And let's face it, Sam Bradford could probably use a little bit of play action pass. Nick Foles is a very good play action pass quarterback, and you saw him really thrive doing that. And I think when he lined up under center last year with Chip, you saw him being able to throw the ball downfield a little bit more. Yep. One thing Sam Bradford hasn't done is throw downfield. And you can blame the wide receivers, you can blame the scheme or whatever, but you need to try to help your quarterback be able to throw the ball downfield. And if you do a little play action and they're having success running the ball, you'll hold those safeties for a half second.
And that's a big factor. You know, the shotgun was put in years ago. It was a passing formation. It wasn't put in to run sprint out and run pitch to a back and let him run to the corner and see if offensive linemen could outrun people and cut guys off. It was put in as a passing offense. It was put there so the quarterback would have more time to look down the field and read the defenders and find the open man. And people run the spread offense, and they tried to combine that with running offense, but it takes a certain kind of lineman And it takes a certain kind of play calling to be able to do that. And I think that's, you know, in a quarterback, like you just said, it can throw the bubble screen, can throw the quick slant. And that's a problem for the Eagles right now. So I think hopefully they've seen, and I'm sure Chip, he's a smart man. I'm sure he's seen that too. And I think you'll see a little more of that. What I do want to ask you this, how do you see the Eagles front seven defense, which is the strength, I think, of their team? How do you see them matching up with the Redskins offense?
Well, boy, you said it, and even with Cedric Thornton goes out, and he's one of those defensive end in a 3-4 mm-hmm. where he's kind of an unsung hero. They're not necessarily there to rush the passer. They're not going to get huge pass or sack numbers. You have Vinnie Curry that comes in as kind of a situational rusher. He comes in on nickel situations. And you saw Brandon Bear come in last week, who's a 30-year-old, second-year, third-year player, right. And he made three really big plays just by batting the ball down.
Yep.
And that shows me they have some depth on that the front three. Yeah. I was really worried with Kiko Alonso going down, with D'Amico Ryans being
right.
32 years old and coming off that injury, and the fact that Michael Kendricks is a question mark. Hicks coming in as the rookie and not only playing well, but playing really well and being around the ball and really bringing energy to that defense. Mm-hmm. You can see he has skills in the passing game,
yeah.
but he also is a ball hawk. He's around the ball, and yeah. that's huge. The biggest thing I see as far as a negative out of that front seven is they don't really have a natural edge rusher. And Brandon Graham, for I like the kid, and I think he gives good effort, he doesn't have a whole lot of diversity with his moves. He does that bull rush. He got some quarterback pressures. He got in the backfield a couple times. They could really use an edge rusher to get in there and really disrupt that quarterback. And, guys, you know that was supposed to be Marcus Smith. The whole reason they reached for him in the first round was to be that guy.
Yeah.
They don't have that guy. No. And you can't expect Connor Barwin to be a 15 or a 16 sack linebacker again. Right. He does so much for your defense in other ways. He was covering a lot in the slot last week. So I love the front seven. I worry about the pass rush, and I worry when you play the elite teams with those elite quarterbacks. If you don't get pressure on them, a guy like Aaron Rodgers will pick you apart and will have your lunch.
Yeah. Our special guest leading off the program, John Marks, co-host of the new 97.5 Morning Show, The Fanatic. John, I want to ask you about RG3 and that whole saga going on there, because the Redskins, they're not playing him because they don't want him hurt, because if he gets hurt, then they'll owe him $60 million for next season. And the owner is rumored to be on the phone wanting Gruden to play him, but the coach doesn't want to. I mean, looking at that situation, your thoughts on that, and does it restore any faith you have in the Eagles situation? I mean, for as bad as Bradford has looked, at least the Eagles are not as dysfunctional as the Redskins look right now.
It's a really good point, and you look at Daniel Snyder, and do I think Jeffrey Lurie is the greatest owner in pro sports? No, I don't. But you look at what Daniel Snyder's doing now in Washington, and you appreciate that Jeffrey Lurie, he lets his football people make their football decisions. And obviously Daniel Snyder is the exact opposite. He meddles, and you can really tell that it hurts them down there. But I actually think they made the right move with RG3, putting him on the bench. Jay Gruden saying that Kirk Cousins is not only the starter, but the starter for the season. It's funny, when you do sports radio for a living, you do sports talk for a living, you find a silver lining in a lot of different things as far as scenarios in sports. If the Eagles lose a game, it's like, all right, well, I'm an Eagle fan first and foremost, and it stinks they lost. But, man, there's storylines involved now. Now there's a lot to talk about. And I often look down at that situation in Washington, D.C., now with Papelbon fighting Bryce Harper in the dugout. But how dysfunctional can you be as an NFL franchise? But I actually think they got this right. And RG3, never, he beat the Eagles in the second to last week last year. Yep. But that was more about the Eagles being terrible in the secondary, I think, more than being about RG3. Yeah. Kirk Cousins is going to give you a couple times during the game on Sunday, if they end up playing on Sunday, where he's going to throw the ball up and you're going to get a chance to get an interception. I don't think Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, but I think he's solid enough to where they have two really good running backs down there. Alfred Morris, who I always really respected and thought was a good back, looks like he might be losing his job because they have a rookie down there, Matt Jones. That is a physical, fast, stud runner. And you put those two together, not even thunder and lightning, but just thunder and thunder, and the Eagles, one of their strengths is stopping the run. They're going to have their work cut out for them on Sunday and again, we talked about play action pass. If they can establish the running game early, which I think they may be able to, now you can get Kirk Cousins more comfortable. He doesn't have to throw the ball 40 times a game. Against the Jets, with Chris Ivory being out and Ryan Fitzpatrick first of all, the Jets falling down big early. When he has to throw the ball 58 times, they have no chance to win that game. If Cousins has to throw the ball 50 times, they're not going to win the game, most likely. So if you stop the run against the Redskins, you're going to have success, because I don't think Cousins can beat you just with his arm.
Agree. John, we really appreciate your time and continued success to you and your colleagues on the morning show.
I really appreciate you having me on. Anytime, man.
All right. Thank you very much. John Marks does a great job with the new 97.5 morning show on the Fanatic down in the Delaware Valley's ESPN Radio. All right. Let's introduce our special in-studio guests here. An extraordinary cast of athletic directors here to talk about a variety of high school sports issues on our program tonight. From left to right across your screen, Mr. Brian Geis, Ms. Amy Rogers, and Mr. Ray Romella. Gentlemen and ladies, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for putting up with Joe bragging for 30 minutes before we came on the air here.
You took credit
for two of the three athletic directors' success. And
I just knew them.
You took a shot at, said he was eating your cookies when you were an athletic director or something like that.
I'll explain that later.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. All right, time for a tip-off question. And one of the hottest topics right now going on in Lehigh Valley sports is the word that we could not only be going to six classifications for football, but unlike when we did a show with Jason Zimmerman a few months ago, it looks like we could be moving faster and
might be a year away.
More broadly. Yeah. So I just want to get any thoughts you have, positive, negative, or indifferent, on the move for the entire state of Pennsylvania at the high school level to move to six classifications. And Brian, I know you. Yeah. I know there's a lot of strong feelings across from many people, but Brian, your thoughts on this?
Well, this information was presented to us way back in March this past year, and the information was given to us that Pennsylvania is one of the only states with a limited number of classifications. We had four throughout, so the statistics were given to us nationwide telling us that as the state of Pennsylvania, we did not match up with the number of classifications. So moving forward, the PIAA put together a package from Bob Tonkin from District 9, in effect, being able to shorten a season to a 15-week season, which would not overlap our winter seasons, take some added pressure, increasing the number of playoff teams with the six classifications, as well as reducing 1 week of scrimmage would allow us all to play our 10 games. And we know that's important for the Colonial League as well. We want to be able to play 10 contests. There's some other issues that are upon that, as well as, okay, a league like ours, we might have some 5A teams and some 2A teams, and those are some things that we're going to have to address. But I think the key date, from what I recall, is October 7th is when that's supposed to go through, and they'll have their third and final reading from the PIAA.
Yep. Anyone else have thoughts on the six classifications, Ray?
Being rather new to the East Penn Conference, I've really been playing a lot of catch up with this and getting brought up to speed. I think along the lines of what Brian said, that there's other states that have made this work, and really I think the biggest value is the increase in the number of playoff teams. Giving more of our student athletes the chance to compete at that level will definitely bring value. I know there's some questions and some things that need to be worked out, but overall I have confidence that this is moving us in a good direction. Yeah,
especially since it's across the board, because a few months ago it seemed like it would happen in 2 or 4 years from now in just football, and now it's multiple sports, if not all the sports, right away. Joe?
Well, I have mixed feelings about it. I can understand the need, and I can understand wanting more kids to participate in playoffs. I think that's a good thing. I'm not sure you need to do it because everybody else has more than four. To me, that's not really a question. I don't want it to get watered down, because I think some states who have more, have six and seven classifications, you know, look at New Jersey. I mean, there's like 10 state champions in football in New Jersey. This section has a champion, and that section has a champion. This size has a champion. So I think you got to be real careful when you do this kind of stuff that you don't get it, you don't go too far with it. I don't see the argument about shortening the season as being that big a deal, because to me they could have gone back to one scrimmage instead of two and started the season a week earlier anyway, especially since they added this this conditioning week.
Heat acclimatization.
So you're already getting 3 weeks of practice now, before the first game. So now you have, if you move it back a week and say you can start playing the week before Labor Day, you still have 2 weeks of summer practice. You get one scrimmage in and you play a game. So I mean, it could have been done. But I like the idea of more teams being in the playoffs. I think that's a good thing for kids. And if it works, I think that's great. But be careful. There's going to be some glitches in this. I know there are.
Yep. And this is something that we'll be continuing to talk about in future weeks and months going forward here. And for people that have not looked at their weather forecasts or their apps on their phone lately, there could be like dire consequences, or we could have a few raindrops over the next 5 days or so. There could be a hurricane coming. Where are we at with the fall sports season in terms of playoffs? And what's kind of the game plan over the next 4 to 5 days here? Because I know, Ray, I think tennis had some action postponed today. So for the various sports, where are we at schedule-wise, getting ready or in the playoffs? And what could be possibly happening here if we have some bad weather the next 5 days?
Yes, I was at Pocono Mountain East today. We had the first day of our tennis tournament for the East Penn Conference. We made it till about 2 o'clock. And then the skies opened up a little bit. So we have pushed it to first thing tomorrow morning. After tomorrow, if we don't get it in, then that's when the real challenges start to crop up. A lot of our teams already have games scheduled for Monday and Tuesday that were postponed from earlier in the season. So it gets a little bit sticky. Hopefully tomorrow the weather cooperates at least during the day and we can get that in.
Well, Joe's going to take credit for it if it doesn't rain. Amy, how about your school in the Colonial League?
Actually, with the Colonial League, we just had completed our golf tournament on Monday, so we had that one got in. Our Colonial League tennis tournament was today. We got, I think, all matches but 10, so we were postponed. Yeah. We actually moved that up to an 11 a.m. start, and we just need to get 10 matches in, so we're doing that again on Monday. But as far as Notre Dame is concerned, we don't have any makeups. So, the weather has cooperated for us for the most part this fall. Yeah. We're at Palmerton tomorrow night for the big football game up there. So, thank goodness I don't have a home football game in this rain. But we'll see what happens with all this rain. But we're looking to play.
Yeah. Some sports.
We're going to continue our local sports conversations with our in-studio guest, Brian Geis from Northern Lehigh High School, Amy Rogers from Notre Dame High School, and Ray Romello, the athletic director at Nazareth High School. Right now it is time for the trivia, and give a chance for the people at home to win a prize. Joe's already complained about this trivia question, so
actually,
here comes.
This is a good one. I knew this one, though, before I even looked at the paper.
Oh, it's good to hear. Who set the Redskins' single-game rushing yard record, and which team did he do this against? So we're looking for who set the Redskins' single-game rushing yardage record, and you have to also correctly identify which team was his opponent when he set the record. And, of course, we're going to have more conversation coming up after our break, but first here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest on tonight's program, Ray Romello, athletic director from Nazareth High School, Amy Rogers, athletic director from Notre Dame High School, Brian Geis, the AD from Northern Lehigh.
And me.
Yeah. Do you want to say what you said 5 seconds before we came back on? No, you don't.
I don't know what I said.
Don't say it. I don't want you to say it anyway.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, you'll say I made it up anyway. I want to talk to all three of you about your individual schools. And football, we'll talk about football in just a little bit, but football gets the lion's share of the spotlight this time of year. But all three of you have some great things going on in a lot of other sports during the fall. So Ray, Amy, and Brian will just run down a list, talk about some of the highlights individually and team highlights so far this fall.
The thing I've been most impressed with has been across the board the success that we've been seeing at Nazareth. With volleyball and our golf team won the East Penn Conference tournament today. Tennis, the soccer teams, pretty much consistently we've been seeing success in the fall season. So it really has been a pretty easy transition when you come in. You know, winning makes everybody happy. So it's definitely been a successful fall so far for us, and hopefully will continue.
Yeah. Amy, how about you? I know there's a lot of reason for optimism.
I know with Notre Dame, can't compare to the size with Nazareth, and I think Brian would agree to this, is being a small school, we have a lot of athletes that play multiple sports. Mm-hmm. So with the fall, we have, done our success with football. I have to throw that out there. But one of the things that gets really overlooked is our cross-country team.
Yep.
And Art Corrigan, and this is going out to our fans out there, became the winningest high school cross-country coach in America. Yep. And I don't know if many people knew that, if that information had gotten out there. And that's just an impressive stat. He has well over, I think, 1,300 wins. But then again, as he always tells me, I've been coaching 30 years. but, that's just an impressive stat.
Yeah. Just to coach 30 years is impressive, let alone
in
to
this
get
day and
wins.
Age, yeah, yes. But our boys' team, unfortunately, we're not going to go undefeated. We did lose the other day, at Southern Lehigh. But across the board, our tennis team has done well. Our volleyball team just won the Easton Invitational over the weekend. And our boys and girls soccer teams, they're improving. They're working towards district playoffs. But overall, I couldn't be happier with our fall sports teams.
Yeah. Brian, can you touch on the highlights going on at Northern?
Sure. And again, touching on Amy, and congratulations to Art. He's such a great guy. I have a lot of respect for Art. I deal with him a lot in track and field. But at Northern Lehigh, being a small school, just as Amy said, we struggle a lot of times fielding some of our sub varsity teams. And with as many fall sports as there are, a lot of our girls are kind of spread thin, and we're not able to put as competitive as teams as we'd like to. Jess Frew's doing a nice job in field hockey. Jason Reinhardt's doing a great job with girls soccer. We hired Jason Rook, who used to coach at Whitehall. He's currently our boys coach. And then there's the venerable Dave Ortner, who would probably compete with Art in regards to cross country. And We have a lot of great kids, and being a smaller school, competing against some of these larger schools in the Colonial League, it's a struggle, but we're competitive, and a lot of times we'll give Northwestern Lehigh and Palmerton a battle, since they're league rivals. So other than that, we have an outstanding facility, and I think we've impressed a lot of teams as they come in and try to take care of everybody as they come into our stadium.
It's gotten a lot more crowded in the fall with girls soccer now going to the fall season, because you mentioned the girls programs. There's a lot of opportunities for girls in the fall, not as many though in the spring now.
Yeah, absolutely. With girls soccer, you have the soccer, you have field hockey, you have cross country. Some girls like to do cheering. And then you also have the other after school activities like the fall play, student council. Yeah. And Amy could probably tell this. A lot of the same kids are doing the same things, and you're in a small school. You're sharing kids, and coaches have done a great job in being able to share those athletes and try to be able to put a competitive team on the field.
Yep. No. I have nothing to say.
I thought you were going to bring up how you raised Ray.
Nothing to say.
All right, well, I'll ask Ray. How instrumental was Joe Craig in your success?
Why you got to do this stuff?
Because it is his first time here, so I wanted to ask you about your background a little bit. And
His background, not mine.
No, I don't care about your background.
Some of my earliest memories were in Mr. Craig's office. I would go with when my dad was the athletic director at Central Catholic. I have a lot of good memories of playoff games hosted and time spent there. So he was definitely one of the individuals who helped get me here today.
He was the reason we had to have a little extra cheesesteaks and stuff in the office, because I knew Raymond was coming.
Yeah. All right, a couple of emails coming in here. First of all, I better do Andy Weaver's here first. Here, he has a question for Ray here. What is the biggest change from working with the school newspaper to being the athletic director? And what is your prediction for the football game tomorrow night? Andy's prediction is 42-21, Nazareth, of course. Ray, do you go in the prediction business?
I try to stay out of that. Andy's kind of our resident expert with that, so I let him do his thing. But for me, it's just I was out of athletics for a short time, and I could not wait to get back into athletics. Very happy to be where I'm at, and Nazareth has been tremendous so far. So I'm going to stay away from the prediction. I like what Andy's thinking, though, and hopefully that'll come true for us.
All right, Andy, thank you for checking in. We also have an email from Richard, no town given, but he inquires about the six district 11 classifications. And he said, just to confirm, is this going to be for all schools, for all school sports, I'm assuming, going forward starting next year?
All right, well, I think the key thing is to kind of put the facts on the table.
This vote hasn't along, even happened yet.
Right. Yeah, right. This has moved along fairly quick. They had a second reading, and on the PIAA, they do three readings. So the next reading is October 7th, and it's slated for, as much as we know, is just for football. However, the PIAA is looking at multiple sports, and what we've been told is that basketball, baseball, and softball are probably going to be the next set of sports looked at. And I think the PIAA wants to have a full package. However, I think October 7th is when football gets voted on. You will probably see more of a classification decision coming in December regarding other sports. Now, the key thing to remember also is that we are currently submitting enrollment numbers at this point, which is the PIAA, that's how we are selected in classification, and that's grades 9 through 11. So we're currently submitting numbers now. They become official in December. So it's kind of neat how the vote is coming in October 7th. Not everybody knows what classification they would be in until December.
There's so many moving parts here.
Yeah. People need to know that vote, by the way, and the numbers that you have to submit. It's how many boys and how many girls. It's two separate entities for these schools. Not
absolutely.
Just a total amount.
Which is another thing to consider, because you could have schools participating in different classifications.
Your girls could be 4A and your boys could be 5A.
And also different classifications per sport.
Yes.
Absolutely. So it's not just, you're not just a 2A school, 3A school, 4A school. Right. You could be 4A in one sport and 3A in another.
And girls could be one and boys could be a different.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have more emails coming in. We also have more phone calls we'll get to after we take this break. As we go to break, though, in this segment, it's time for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down, where we identify an individual or group of people in the world of sports for doing something extraordinarily well, or maybe singling out someone who did something not so good. And Joe, we'll start off with you.
My thumbs up goes to two things. Central Catholic's football program for a big win at Easton. You know, I root for Easton a lot, but that was a great accomplishment considering the kinds of seasons they've had the last year or two. And, of course, Notre Dame's football program. I mean, you go from 0-10 to right now 3-0, 4-0, whatever it is. Thumbs up. Great job.
All right. Ray, who'd you like to give thumbs up or thumbs down to?
Easy one for me. Today, I mentioned it earlier, our golf team at Nazareth winning the East Bend tournament title today. They did a great job, so congratulations. Thumbs up.
All right. Amy, how about you?
I mentioned this, Art Corrigan. I have to definitely give a double thumbs up for
That's 2 weeks in a row for Art Corrigan, because we mentioned that last week.
Last week.
2 weeks
too.
In a row. He deserves it. Brian, how about you?
I have to give a thumbs up to Saquon Barkley. I met him at our league track meet. We ran East Penn Conference Colonial League track meet, and his sportsmanship. I am now a huge fan of Saquon Barkley. Yeah, I don't have a favorite individual. College team, but what he did for the Saucon Valley Girl to give his gold medal was just a unique and not often seen, and that's something I'd like to see replicated by other athletes. So I give a big thumbs up to Whitehall Saquon Barkley.
Great kid.
Very special individual. All right, if you're on the phone lines, hang with us through this break. We'll be back with you right after this timeout. Our special guests again, Brian Geist, Amy Rogers, and Ray Romella. We'll be back with more RCN Sports Talk right after this.
This is the RCN Sports Talk Podcast. Interact with us by sending us your sports comments, questions, and opinions right now or anytime via email to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we may read and respond to your emails on an upcoming program. That's rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Give and get sports opinions by visiting our sports blogs at rcn.com/rcntv, where you can also get updates on sports news and features on teams in the RCN coverage area. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk podcast resumes in 60 seconds. We'll be right back. Sports Talk podcast continues in just seconds. Don't forget, you can send us your feedback and sports comments and questions at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Or speak with us directly on air during the program's live airing on RCN TV starting at 7 p.m. on Thursday evenings at 1-844-234-4488. Now, here's more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest in studio tonight, Amy Rogers, Brian Geist, and Ray Romello from Notre Dame, Northern Lehigh, and Nazareth, respectively. Joe Craig is also here with us.
Oh, man.
We have the roundtable coming up, and we also still have that trivia question out there looking for the Redskins single-game rushing yardage record holder, and which team did he do it against? So let's go right to the phone lines as promised and go to Washington, D.C. and check in with Rob. Rob, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Rob. How are you?
I'm fine.
All right, looking for the correct answer to our trivia question.
I think it's Timmy Smith, and he did it against Denver in the Super Bowl, right?
What was the name again?
Tim Smith.
Yeah. No, that's incorrect.
Good try, though.
Are you Redskins fans, Rob?
No, I'm not.
Well, when you hear the answer to this, you'll remember when it happened, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Right. Thanks for the call.
Rob, thanks for joining us this evening. All right, let's go to Effort, Pennsylvania, and check in with John. John, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, John. How are you?
Good. Not too bad.
You got an answer for a trivia game?
Yeah, I'm going to say Gerald Riggs against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, very good.
Very good.
A lot of people
very
were
good.
Guessing Riggins, but you got it right. Gerald Riggs against the Eagles, September 17th, 1989.
Yep. You remember how many yards?
I'm going to say... 221 is my guess.
Yeah, it was about 248, I think. It was a large number.
Whatever it was.
And I died with every freaking yard he gained. But I do remember it. Good job. Good job,
thank
John.
Thank you.
John, do you have a prediction for the Redskins-Eagles game this weekend? Or do we lose?
Oh, geez. Probably, I'm going to call it Eagles.
Go Eagles?
Eagles 24-10, that's my guess.
24-10, all right. We'll call you after the show with your information about your prize, all right?
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Yep. All right, so the trivia question is off the board. We'll get to the roundtable in just a little bit. I just want to touch on a couple other sports. You mentioned Art Corrigan, mm-hmm. too. I don't know if you want to give a shout-out or talk about any of your coaches this year, because I know the fall is a busy time. You're getting back into the groove of everything, and then in a couple of weeks you're going to be getting ready for winter sports season, too. Mm-hmm. So anyone else you want to identify or give shout-outs to from the fall sports teams?
I didn't get a chance to talk about my football team, my football program. Joe Tout is arguably one of the best football coaches in the area. I have a lot of respect for Joe. He runs a fantastic program. If you've never got a chance to watch a Northern Lehigh football game, don't expect a high-flying aerial passing attack. We're very old school. We run the ball. The teams know that we're going to run the ball.
Yeah.
And we play tough, solid, hard-nosed defense, and we have a bunch of blue-collar kids that like to hit and play football. And again, a big shout-out to Joe Tout. He does a fantastic job.
And we had Northern Lehigh as one of the top teams. And I know they've lost a couple games, but you had a killer schedule to start. You were up against the top teams.
Yeah, we battled against Saucon Valley. Yeah. We had them on the ropes. We had a couple penalties that kind of pushed us back. I think we gave Notre Dame a great fight. Mm-hmm. We had some solid plays, and we just kind of ran out of gas.
Yeah.
They had more players, and we didn't. And credit to them, they played outstanding. They won the game, and different schedule, maybe we'd be in a different spot.
Good football tradition up there. One of the best high school games I've seen in the last 15 years was a playoff game up there with Palisades about 7 or 8 years ago, up at at Northern Lehigh. That was a great football game, and Northern Lehigh won the game, but that was when Palisades was just starting to have really good football. But it was a great football game. Great, great community for football.
Yes.
It really is.
And by the way, Esther says she, Gerald Riggs ran for 221 yards, not 248. Yeah. So I'm supposed to tell you you are wrong. Confused.
Maybe he caught 20-some yards in passes, too. I don't know.
Well, Esther wants me to tell
Thank
you
Thank you, Esther. I appreciate you getting that straight.
And speaking of that, I want to ask you.
Well, let them answer the other part of the question. Neither one of them got the answer to the question.
I was going to ask Ray about the football team. In fact, since you brought this up, I remember a conversation we had back in July. I watched the Nazareth team win one of the sports basketball summer leagues that were going on. And I said, you know, there's a lot of athletes that are coming back to this football program. Watch out for them. And a certain football expert on our staff said, oh, basketball is completely different. It won't translate, blah, 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 blah.
We've never had this conversation. What are you talking about?
Could you just talk about the football team, please, before Joe keeps running his mouth here?
Yes, it's been a tremendous start to our season. Coach Tom Falzone is just doing an incredible job with the guys. A lot of confidence building. We've had some close games that we've been in that we've pulled out at the end. Just had a big one with Emmaus the other night that I was very happy. I was very happy how that one turned out. But The guys are really have a lot of chemistry early on. I think they grew significantly from some of their struggles last year, and you know we've seen the turnaround maybe a little quicker than some folks anticipated, and we just hope it continues.
Yeah. Well, you have one of the best receivers in the league, and I'm not talking about Dobson either. I'm talking about the other kid,
Julian.
You've got it. Yeah, he's a really good receiver.
All right, it's time for the roundtable part of our show. The roundtable is where we have a variety of local, regional, national sports issues that we put before our panelists, looking for an exchange of thoughts and ideas on these. They do not know what's coming prior to their arrival in the studio. And as always, we try to mix it up a little bit with some different topics. Topic number one, this is more of an interest now to the Washington fans, although Phillies fans can identify with this a little bit. The Washington fans down there are donating money to charity for the Nationals to unload Jonathan Papelbon and his $12 million contract for next year. I'm sure it's just in fun, but this momentum is gaining some momentum down in the D.C. area there. So we'll ask you, how much money would you pay to charity to unload Jonathan Papelbon? Amy, we'll start with you. How much money would you give to the Washington faithful down there to get rid of him?
I haven't really been following this situation. I'm not a Washington Nationals fan or Phillies fan. Just unload them. Take it all.
Okay.
Give it all. Give it all to charity.
All right, Brian, how about you?
Jonathan, I'm not a Washington Nationals fan, so I'm going to say probably nothing. You know, just like you can keep them and, you know,
you can use Joe's money.
Yeah, you traded for him, you got him, and, you know, I think everybody knew he kind of had some baggage before he came there, so. You know, that's on them. That's on the Nationals and, you know, moving forward.
And they renegotiated his contract to make sure he would come back next year, which makes it even more bitter for the Washington fans. Ray, how about you?
I'm a longtime New York Mets season ticket holder, so I'm going to go on the other side, and I would give money to make sure that he stays in Washington next year
and
continues to do his thing and ruins the karma for the team next year as well. So I'm going to go that way.
That's a good strategy. Mm-hmm. Joe?
Well, what makes it peculiar is that Washington had maybe the best closer in the National League before they got Papelbon.
True story.
But they wanted him. They got him. No excuse for putting your hand on another player the way that happened. And, you know, sometimes you get what you do, what you don't realize you're getting.
Yeah, found that one you came on the show.
Yeah.
Topic number two, how pumped are you for the newest Rocky movie? Rocky 17, Rocky 7 is coming out. How pumped are you for the latest Rocky movie? Brian, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, I saw the trailer. I think it's called Creed, right? It's Creed, and I think it's kind of a neat storyline. I don't know if I'm going to be spending the $20 to go to the movie to see Creed. I'll wait till maybe it comes out on Netflix or whatever it happens to be. I think it's a neat storyline. I think it moves along. How pumped am I? Not really pumped. I thought it was kind of cool. Like, okay, neat storyline and something to rent down the road.
All right, sounds good. Ray, how about you?
I'm one of those guys who can't flip the channels and see a Rocky and not stop and tune in. Love all the Rocky movies, so I'm going to go with, I'm pretty pumped for Creed. I think it's going to be a nice twist to the story. I don't think Rocky's going to be getting back into the ring again, so they continue the franchise, but kind of take it in a different direction.
And on the one trailer, there's a hook where it looks like Rocky might have a ill fate at the end, but I don't want to spoil that too much. Amy, are you pumped for the Rocky movie?
No, I'll just wait till it comes out on DVR, Blu-ray.
TiVo, RCN
TiVo. TiVo. So.
Yep. Joe?
I could care less. I haven't seen a movie. I haven't gone to a movie since Dances with Wolves. So how's that one?
I thought you were going to say Charlie Chaplin. topic number three. A winner.
How old do you think I am?
Don't make me answer that question on live television. A winner for Sunday's game and a final score, assuming they play on Sunday with the weather predictions down in D.C. Redskins or Eagles? Joe, we'll start off with you.
I'm going to pick the Eagles in a close game. I don't know what the score will be, but I'll pick the Eagles.
That's
it will be close. It will be
score.
Close. All right, I'll give you a score. 24-21.
All right, that's good. Right, Ray, how about you?
I'm going to go with the Eagles as well, more because of the pitiful state that the Redskins are in. I think not too high scoring, though. I'm going to go with 21-14 Eagles.
21-14, all right. By the way, if you guys are right, we'll mention on next week's show. If you're wrong, we won't forget.
All right.
We won't mention it.
No,
Joe's
mention
wrong.
Me. He'll mention
I'll
me,
mention
not
for
you.
Sure. Amy, how about you for a prediction for Sunday?
Probably Hurricane Joaquin might end up, you know, winning out this battle, depending on its on his path. But I'll have to go with the Redskins.
Redskins, okay.
In a close game, as Joe mentioned.
Yeah, it's going
to
be close.
I think the Redskins probably 20-17, 24-21, something like that.
Very good, very good. Brian, how about you?
You know what? I'm going to go Jay Gruden over.
as long as the owner doesn't intervene.
I know. Jay, more of a pros coach. Chip Kelly, I think, is just too arrogant. And he feels that his type of offense is going to go on any level. I'm going to go the Skins. It'll be like a two-point conversion in there somewhere. maybe a safety, maybe a Sam Bradford injury. I'm going to go Redskins 23-17.
23-17. All right. And we'll close up this segment with topic number four. In honor of the 40-year anniversary of the Thrilla in Manila, which was today, that's hard to believe, 40 years ago, what was the best professional fight that you ever saw? Was it that one? Was it something more recent?
Okay, I know that.
Amy, we'll start off with you.
I've never seen a professional boxing fight.
Not even the Merriweather fights?
No, not. I haven't been there live. Does world wrestling count for pro wrestling?
Sure, we'll let it count for this.
So. But
Joe, you kind of took her to a pro boxing match. Take it
down
to Atlantic
City. Haven't
seen
a pro boxing match. No right. MMA, Ronda Rousey, you know.
Yeah, I forgot about her, yeah. All right, Brian, how about you?
I'm going to have to go back to, I can't remember what year it was, but I'm going to go with Hagler Hearns. That was the one, Hagler Hearns, that was the one that's most memorable. I don't know what year it was.
Yeah, that's going back. Ray, how about you?
I had the privilege of meeting Muhammad Ali a few years back when he got an honorary degree at Muhlenberg, and I've always been a huge fan, and some of his fights were obviously classics. I'm gonna go with the Ali Frazier though. That was just that was the best fight I've ever seen.
Yeah. Joe,
okay, 1958, Ray Snyder and Paul Miller. Corner of 17th and Tillman Street, Allentown, outside the fairground. That was the best fight I ever saw.
Wasn't supposed to be professional.
And they weren't professionals, but it was a great fight. Okay, what's the next question?
It's not a professional. It wasn't professional?
Well, they were both professionals, but they weren't professional boxers, let's put it that way.
Just for the record, I want to extend an invitation to all three of you. If you ever have a coaching opening or anyone on your staff that would love to, especially on Thursday.
They couldn't afford me.
I'll chip in. All right, time for our last time out of the evening and time for our timeout feature. And after a rare rebuilding period, the Bethlehem Catholic girls tennis team is back among the elite squads in the Lehigh Valley. Videographer Alyssa Scheckler caught up with the Hawks head coach and players to ask them about their success this fall.
We have a strong tennis tradition here at Bethlehem Catholic. We've always had, at least the past 15 or 20 years, we've had really solid teams. And the last two seasons have been kind of rebuilding years. But this year, the girls are a little bit more mature. A lot of the girls have been on varsity for their third year. So the girls in the beginning of the season really expected to compete with everybody, both in the conference and the Eastern Pennsylvania Conference, as well as in the District 11 playoffs.
It's been going really great. I think we're all really motivated. We're undefeated, so that's awesome. So I think we're going to be really strong the next few matches that we have left.
I like to play singles because I'm out there by myself, but I like to play doubles because I like to be with my friends. And it's very different. I like them, though.
I feel like the chemistry between you and your partner has to be there, definitely, because you have to have each other's back during the point, and you have to make sure that if you don't get the ball, they get the ball.
My partner and I, we have lost one match, but it was a tough match, and I think we're pulling ourselves together, and we're going to come through and have that be our only loss.
Ultimately, I'd like to go undefeated, do well in districts, but I'm just having fun. It's great.
I'm excited for the postseason to try to even get better than I already am.
We've had a successful season, and a part of it is due to the fact that we have kids who've been on the team now for, it's their third year, their experience. So we're kind of reaping the benefits of a lot of experience and a lot of hard work.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. To the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to our final minutes with our special guests on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Brian Geist, Amy Rogers, and Ray Romella for joining us. Thanks in advance for being here and putting up with us during our commercial breaks. Before we continue, Joe, I know you wanted to spend some time talking about something.
Just very briefly, I do want to bring to the attention of folks the passing this week of Fritz Haffaker, a great guy, an outstanding football coach, and an icon, really, in the football community in the Lehigh Valley. And he, as a great coach, he's also a really fine educator. He was a guru to many of the present coaches and coaches in the past. I mean, he taught a lot of different people how to coach football. And a nicer guy you'd never want to meet. So my thoughts are with him and his family, and just a great guy. Fritz will be missed.
And real quick, Pam, by the way, I'm not going to read your email because we're short on time, but you're welcome. I'm glad to mention Breast Cancer Awareness Month this month, of course. I think we should all be paying attention to that, all the programs that are going on this month for that worthy cause. All right, topic number six here, best football highlight you ever saw. I don't know if it's just the internet or all the highlights that you see nowadays, but it used to be a one-handed catch was something you rarely see. Now we seem to have two or three a weekend between college and pro. What is the best football highlight play that you ever saw? Brian, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with beast mode, Marshawn Lynch's playoff run against the Saints. Yeah. That was one of the greatest runs that I had ever witnessed. That was an unbelievable run, and that's the one I have to go with, Marshawn Lynch against the Saints.
That's a good one. Amy, how about
you? I'm going old school, back in the day, Pittsburgh Steelers, Franco Harris, Immaculate Reception.
That was mine. Oh, that's of course it.
It's a good one.
Hey, you didn't have that.
That's the one I was going to mention.
Absolutely. He always tries to steal your answer. Mm-hmm. Ray, how about you?
I'm going to go with Magnitude of the Situation. Fellow Syracuse alum David Tyree with his helmet catch in the Super Bowl for the New York Giants when they went on to beat the New England Patriots.
Oh, that's a good one, too. That's some very good ones. Joey?
I'll say an obvious one, and that was the unbelievable interception at the end of last year's Super Bowl that iced it for New England. Totally out of the blue. That was a great play.
All right, final 30 seconds of the show, Stone Cold Lock Time is where our panelists guarantee something in the world of sports comes true. Can be local, regional, or national. You can create some bulletin board material if you want to do Scholastic, or you can do college or pros. Ray, we'll start with you.
Staying clear from the bulletin boards, 2015 World Series champion New York Mets.
Oh, that'll make our camera guy happy. Amy, how about you?
That the Yankees will beat themselves out of the playoffs.
Okay, we'll get the Yankee fans upset about that. Brian, what's your story?
You know what, I might as well stay baseball. Blue Jays win the World Series 22 years after they won it back in, I think it was 94. Sorry, 21 years ago, I think it was 93.
93.
Whatever.
Oh, I remember that one.
21 years, Joe Carter comes back.
I covered that World Series. Yeah. I remember very well. Joe, you got 2 seconds.
Yeah, Philadelphia 76ers will shock
the
world and win.
Ray,
and win
Amy,
games.
And Brian for being on tonight's program. Don't forget to check Dennis and Joe out tomorrow on the Friday Night Show. I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.